And it's time now to take a look beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. And he's on the line now from Atlanta, Georgia. Hey there, Peter. How you doing? What do you got for us today?
Hi, Steve. Well, you know, the end of June was a really, really bad time for one of the pioneering, biggest, baddest fracking companies in the United States, Chesapeake Energy. On June 28th, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy after being a Fortune 500 company for the last few years.
What happened to them?
They've kind of fell apart. The prices of oil and gas have fallen way, way down. Concerns about the environmental costs of fracking also began to weigh on the company. And they're also kind of an emblem for what's going on with fracking everywhere.
Interesting. Hey, what else do you have from the world of energy? With the prices down, there's got to be more news.
Oh, there's plenty more. And because the price is down, the pipeline industry is also having a tough time of it. Duke Energy and Dominion Energy decided to quit their 600-mile, multi-billion-dollar pipeline project, bringing gas through West Virginia, Virginia, and the Carolinas. They cited litigation and declining oil prices in killing the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Was also the object of protests all along its route, particularly the part where the pipeline ducks under the Appalachian Trail.
Well, hikers won't have to worry about that one now, apparently.
No, they won't. But wait, Steve, there is more.
Okay.
A federal judge shut down an existing pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, one of the most contentious objects of litigation and protest by Native Americans, by environmentalists, farmers, ranchers, property rights advocates. The judge said that environmental review conducted by the Army Corps of Engineers was nowhere near adequate. They would have to do that over again before the pipeline would be allowed to reopen.
Okay, Peter, what else do you have this week?
Well, I was kind of struck by President Trump's saying that 1% of COVID cases were a big deal and the rest were harmless. So I grabbed the old calculator. There are 130,000 U.S. deaths and climbing. That includes my mom last month. There are nearly 3 million diagnosed cases at the time we're recording this. And that's not 1%. That's about 4%. And what struck me about it is that Mr. Trump makes a lot of wild claims. They contradict what he said, what others have said, but rarely are his wild claims so instantaneously disprovable. 4% are dead, and that's a big deal.
Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry to hear about your mother.
Yes, thanks. And Trump, by the way, has made the same kind of wild claims about climate change and about land use in the western states, all of that federal land managed by the Bureau of Land Management, which we will now call the other BLM.
Yes. Okay, Peter. So it's time now to pull out the history books and tell me which page you've turned to.
25 years ago, page, July 13th, 1995, a heat wave enveloped the Midwest. 739 people died in the city of Chicago alone. That heat wave was a very, very early look at how ugly climate change could be. And it also was a look at how climate change can be an environmental justice issue, because an overwhelming number of those 739 deaths in Chicago were in African American and Latinx neighborhoods.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Dykstra is an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at the Living on Earth website. That's loe.org.